The scripture we happen to be on this morning from Luke chapter 21 is talking about the gift of this widow who didn't have much to give. Sometimes we really think we're doing pretty good with this, but it's truly an act of our worship that we need to pay attention to. I was hearing about a woman not too long ago was digging in her deep freeze. Now, I don't know about how many of you, I can't pick on my wife, but I could pick on my mother-in-law. She's got a deep freeze the size of a tank, and you can't find anything in there, and storing stuff like she thinks the apocalypse is coming or something. And I don't know how long there's been stuff in there for who knows how long. So there was this woman on the radio talking about digging around in her deep freeze, found a turkey in the bottom, had a date on it, 24 years old. It was a Butterball, very recognizable name, so there was a phone number. She called up Butterball and asked them, is the turkey still any good? Can I use it? And they told her, as best as they knew, they said, well, actually, still should be okay, edible, but probably not going to be very moist anymore and probably going to maybe lose some of its flavor. She says, that's what I thought. It's okay. I'll just give it to the church. Peter, when we send a team to Romania, would you like us to send our best? Or would you like us to send our leftovers? You don't have to answer the question. I know the answer to the question. But sometimes this is how we treat the Lord, isn't it? Sometimes it is. There was a group of men that I was reading about. They were called the Tennessee Train Committee. And they had a very noble ministry that they had tried to do. After Billy Graham had hit it really big with that one crusade that he did in L.A. that really, really kicked off his ministry as a kind of a famous evangelist. They'd made a commitment that they were going to send a train to every crusade that he ever did in the United States to send people to his crusades. Now, after everything was all said and done, and they were celebrating a great big anniversary of this ministry and such, and they wanted to be able to celebrate and continue to promote the ministry. So they held this huge banquet. And they invited Billy, who was not able to attend there, but Ruth was there, his wife. And as the banquet was going on, they had all kinds of pomp and ceremony about how wonderful they had been and how fabulous, and they were going to present a check to the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. There's 200 men there, and they presented, with great fanfare, their check of $2,000 to Ruth, which, if you can do the math, is about 10 bucks a guy. And with all their pomp and ceremony, when any one of those guys could have dropped $2,000 themselves to help out the ministry. If they believe in the ministry, they believe in the ministry. Sometimes we think we're being pretty generous. Not necessarily are. Now here we have this account of this widow in Luke chapter 21. She and her mite. There's a story that tells us one day, you need to remember here now, in this later accounts of Luke, that Jesus is in his final week of his life. He has had his triumphal entry. He's only days away from his trials and the cross. And this little story is inserted in here as a matter of importance for his disciples, which is us. It's only four verses long, but of a matter of importance in his final days. Jesus took time and he sat in the temple courts and he was watching as people were giving. This is what he saw. Luke 21 verses 1 to 4 says, he looked up and he saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw a certain poor widow putting in two small copper coins. And he said, truly, I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all of them, for they all, out of their surplus, put into their offering. But she put in, out of her poverty, all that she had to live on. Here's the first thing I want you to see. Verses 1 and 2. Jesus took a look, and he saw what people are given. Jesus still has eyes today that see. He still sees what we give and how we give. And he does take time to observe how we're doing this and what we're doing. It's good for us to note. Observing what is given and how. So what we've got here now in the temple area, I'm going to show you a little bit of what it would have been like. They would have these boxes for collecting money. And at the top of each box, I'm not sure if you can tell by this kind of painting very well, but there's a box with a spout, and it's sort of trumpet-shaped, and it's tin. I read somewhere that they would have 13 of these boxes. I don't know exactly what the number is, but there have been a number of these boxes collected along in the temple area where people could give their temple tax. And it has this beautiful trumpeted shaped top. Now, what is the point of that thing? If you know the time and the culture in which we're talking, they didn't have any paper money. All of their money was metal, coins. And what's going to happen when your coins hit that metal flute? It's going to make a real nice little sound, isn't it? Clinkety, clinkety, plink, 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 plink. And so if you've got lots of coins, you can make lots of sound. And if you've only got a couple little tiny coins, pretty insignificant. And who's going to know? Who's going to know? Somebody's going to know. Where is this widow's true might in what she gives? I want to tell you about the might, what she was giving. There's a picture of what she would have given. They say it was 1/64th of a denarius, which was a day's wage. 1/64th of a day's wage. When there were some British men trying to translate the scriptures and they came up against this mite, they have the penny and they have the half penny, and they didn't have a coin in their monetary system that was small enough that would equate to the mite that they could put in there. So it's a half penny at best. Now, it has a term, lepta. That's what they called it. Which what that word means is peeled. I don't know if I'm a little bit sick if you can hear the word I'm using. Peeled, like if you're peeling a potato. The idea is that little sliver of metal is so thin, like it's peeled off, like it would almost float away. They're so sad, these poor little things. They're thin. Pathetic little coin of no consequences. And then in verse 4, of this little account, Jesus tells us it's really all this woman had to live on. This little money of no consequence is all she had to live on. It's too little to have made any sound. But in Mark chapter 12, when it's talking about the same account, I think I have a scripture of this, it tells us that the rich were putting in large sums. And that's good. Of course, they ought to. That's good. There's nothing wrong with that. But Jesus takes note of this widow. If he's got these rich people there putting in large sums, why does he take note of this widow when she puts in so little? It's not much money. But clearly that's not the point. He sees something else in this woman that he thinks is worth emulating. What does he see? I'm sure he sees faith. This is all she had to live on, and yet willing to give it. And I think beyond faith, he sees something else. He sees faithfulness. Do you know what the difference is? Do you know what I mean when I say that? Because in faith, we think, well, do I have enough that I can give or I cannot give? But faithfulness is somebody who regularly gives. You know what else comes up regularly in our life? We regularly have bills. And we regularly have all kinds of places that we could put our money. But somebody who is faithful regularly gives to the Lord, to his purposes. That's why he's noticing this woman. Jesus was evaluating giving this day as he stood there in the temple, watching the rich, watching the poor. And I don't think he's evaluating even just how much money. He's evaluating more than this. In the same way, I believe, that God evaluated Cain and Abel when they came and brought their offerings. They both brought their offerings before the Lord. And the Lord tells us, with Abel and his sacrifice, God was pleased. But with Cain and his sacrifice, God was not pleased. And there was something about their obedience and something about their heart and what they were doing that was not matching up. So these rich can give lots of money, but if they're not doing it with a true heart, what good is it? For her, this was a sacrifice. It means this woman may not have eaten that day. And I want to show you just a lesson from King David. An event in David's life. It's not from Luke. That's my mistake on there. This is a passage from 2 Samuel 24:24. David had been chasing after the Lord. He was having an encounter. And he meets with the Lord at the threshing floor of this man named Araunah. And David, needing very desperately to commune with the Lord there, and he wanted to build an altar so he could do a sacrifice there. And he asked this man if he could purchase his property so that he could do this. Araunah looked at David. He says, well, you are the king. Like, for you, I will give it. It's not necessary. This is what David says about that. No, but I will buy it from you for a price. I will not offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God that cost me nothing. So David bought it. I'm not going to give an offering that costs me nothing. It was even prayed about this morning that we give out of our surplus. When we give out of our surplus, what that means is it doesn't cost us much. It means we could carry on without that money, without much adjustment into our life. So Jesus is evaluating how the people were giving, and he's evaluating not just how much, but what's going on in their heart. And here's a scripture from 2 Corinthians 9:7 that tells us that God loves a cheerful giver. Everyone should give as much as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly under compulsion. God loves a cheerful giver. So as he's evaluating when we give, this is what he's looking for. Some of you might be sitting here thinking already today, the pastor's browbeating us now, and I got to give more, and I don't really want to. I'm sure not trying to browbeat anybody today. But we can feel that way even of the Lord or of the church. Oh, I have to give more and I don't even want to. I got way better things I could be doing with it. God loves a cheerful giver. Why does he want us to do this with cheer? If he wants our money, why does he want us to do it with cheer? Sometimes when I was young and I'd have chores in my home, mom and dad say, I want you to do that. And I would do it out of duty, but I didn't like it. I didn't want to do it. Or if I broke something and I had to pay back for that, well, I'd do it. But I didn't like it. And God wants us to be cheerful givers. Why? I think it's an act of worship. We call it that in this church. We're going to worship with our tithes and our offerings. Because the scripture tells us that everything we have, he's given to us anyway. And we were warned in Deuteronomy, we got to be careful that we don't get to that point where we're saying, look at all this that I have done and with my own hands that I have made, and not remember that it's God who gave us the ability and put us in the position that we could make the money that we have. So we give to him freely because he's the one who's given to us, not out of obligation, but real gratitude and delight. God cares about our cheer. You know why? Because God is not after our money. He's after our hearts. What is so much more important than your money is your heart. Oh, that's not the one I want. There we go. Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And it's so easy to invert this scripture so that you know most fully what it means if you say it the opposite way around. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. Or where you've put your heart, you will put your money. The things that you love, those are the things you're spending money on. You love your truck, you're spending money on your truck. You love your home, you're spending money on your home. You love your recreation, you're spending money on your recreation. You love the Lord, what you love is where your money is going. And so if you love the Lord, of course we can give as cheerful givers, can't we? Because it's not an obligation to say, oh, I love the Lord. And I know this is the best, and this is right, and this is part of my worship. And it's easy. It wouldn't be a problem at all. That's this poor widow. That's this poor widow. You know, it'd be really easy to say, oh, these scribes and the Pharisees, they bully this poor woman. They're like, why would a woman this poor have to give any money anyway? And if you think about it, those people are crooked. This woman's given her money. They're going to mismanage it. They're going to do something wrong with it. I would like my money to be used specifically like this, this, that, and the other. I can't give it to the church. They'll mismanage it. They'll probably muck it up somehow. That's not the point. In her faithfulness, this is a woman who's willing to give regularly, and that's between her and God. Now, if she's given her money to the temple, and there's some clown in the temple who mismanages that money now, that's between him and God. She did her part. I worship God. I gave my money, and I gave it at the temple where I'm supposed to give it. And if there's some clown in the temple who mismanages it, that's his problem. That's his sin between him and God. And surely the church ought to steward God's money well. And surely we make mistakes. And we don't always do it as best we could. But when we do that, that's on us. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. Whatever you do, that includes giving of your tithes and of your offerings. Everything we do it to his glory. There's an expression that's used in the scripture, first fruits. Do we give to the church our 24-year-old turkeys? Is that what we want to send to Romania? Say, well, I had to build a new deck, and I pulled out all these nails out of the old deck. And, you know, if you hammered those, you could get some of those straight, and they could be reused. Let's take those, and we'll rebuild Peter's roof with all those old, slightly bent nails. They're still good. They're still good. No, that's not what we want to do. We don't give the Lord our leftovers. We should give him our first fruits. And you know what your first fruits are, because when you get your paycheck, or the very first thing you're spending money on, what is it? Is it the Lord? Or the very first thing you're spending money on, where's it going? I want to tell you a story. I read this story. It was touching to me as an example of giving. It was about a little girl. And as it happened, her father had been recently out of work, so finances were tight. But she would go to the store often enough with her mother, and when there was a particular doll that stuck out to her, and she really admired this thing and liked it. And it became an object of her heart that she wanted. She understood there wasn't much money going around. She knew that. She didn't even hardly ask much for it for her mom, because she knew. But as it came about, she was really blessed one day, because it came to her as a birthday present, and it was her heart's desire. So she loved the thing, and everywhere they went, she'd take the doll, and at home, She'd make a little house for it. She'd make a little chair for it. All these wonderful things she would do because she loved this little toy. It was a precious thing to her. But then she was attending church regular too with her family, and she was hearing about God's love. She was hearing about his sacrifices for us and how much he gives to us. She was hearing about the cross. That God loves, and so he gives. And God loves. And she was very moved by that. And she was thinking to herself, how can I express my own love back to God? How can I express to God that I love him like he's expressing that he loves me? One day the offering plate went by, and she put her doll in the offering plate. You know, there was people who snickered. This is a foolish thing, whatever. But that's what she did. The money counters didn't know what to do with this. You know, they gave it to the pastor. He didn't know what to do with it. So later on that week, he went to visit that family, and he brought the doll back. Can't use this. And he thought it would be really nice, really sweet, you know, because of how much she loved this thing, and he'd be able to return this to her. So he brought the doll in, and he gave it back to this little girl. And you could see on her face, and you could see in her eyes just how much her heart wanted this thing. And she refused it. The pastor says, why? And his tears start to well in her eyes and such. She says, I didn't give it to you. She'd given it to the Lord. What if we love the Lord? It's no sacrifice to give at all. If we love the Lord, and how much greater he can give for us. And there's just one last verse I want to show to you in closing. We think about how good he has been as a giver towards us. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. We don't like talking about money. We don't like talking about giving. But God loves a cheerful giver because it's an act of worship. It's an act of our devotion to him and our faithfulness to him that we love him because he's given us to everything that we have. It's no sacrifice. It's for our God. I'm going to worship with a word of prayer as we wrap up, and we have a wonderful opportunity of worship here still to come with the song, but I'm just going to ask if you'd join me with a word of prayer and thanksgiving for all the good that God has poured into our lives. Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, we know that you are truly rich and good. You have been rich towards us, blessings, family, health, ministry, prosperity, so many good things. All these good things come down from the Father of lights, who's good to his children. And we praise you, and we honor you. We ask that you would bless us. And Lord, as we propose to give, would you give us hearts that are clean and pure before you? Like righteous Abel, we would give in a way that is worship and pleasing in your sight. For your glory, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.